From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. We had a week off to prepare for last Sunday's National Legislative Training Seminar. I'm going to be reviewing the conference with NAPS Executive Vice President Ivan Butts in a few moments. Just an aside, Ivan is calling in from Dallas, Texas, because he is part of the planning for the 2021 National Convention down in Grapevine, Texas. So, Ivan, thanks for calling in to join us today.
Good afternoon, Bob. How are you?
Very good. But first, I'd like to talk about Thursday's Senate confirmation hearing on the three presidential nominees to the U.S. Postal Service Board of Governors. As folks who have been listening to this podcast know, there are currently six Senate-confirmed governors, including Chairman Ron Blum, who is in a so-called holdover year, meaning that unless President Biden renominates him and he is reconfirmed by the Senate, he will leave the board in early December. The three nominees granted a hearing Thursday were former Deputy Postmaster General Ron Stroman, former General Counsel to the American Postal Workers Union Anton Najjar, and National Vote at Home Chief Executive Officer Amber McReynolds. What was notable about their testimony in response to questioning by Chairman Peters and others was their commitment to seek restoration of sliding service and reestablishment of the public's confidence in the agency. What was particularly notable, Ivan, was that their views were unanimous in that they were seeking feedback from postal stakeholders and that they deemed to be essential prior to implementation of the new performance standards. Now, Ivan, as I said, before we get into the legislative training seminar, what do you make of the three nominees prioritizing service and stakeholder engagement with respect to the controversial parts of the 10-year plan?
Thanks, Bob, for that question. Although I was unable to listen in on the hearings due to the planning meetings we're engaged with down here at the Gaylord Texan as we prepare to host our 67th biannual national convention here in the end of August. I think the comments that you relayed to me and the positions of the nominees are really, really spot on to what we've been saying and what our messaging has been in speaking with legislators concerning the alarming issues that we've seen in starting in June with the removal of mail processing equipment at a critical time, which then actually facilitated us having to use extraordinary measures to ensure that the 65.2 million ballots that needed to be processed and delivered by the Postal Service were able to be processed. And now looking at the organizational changes that are being rolled out at this very moment that could very well damage the support structure of the Postal Service moving forward or certainly severely hamper it moving forward if not properly managed. So I think we moved, and one of the comments we have been making in our talking points, as you know, talking with legislators, is that we move beyond postal reform into an area of postal restoration. So I think the views of these three nominees that there needs to be a concerted effort and focus on postal restoration is spot on to what we see as the need to keep America's postal service sustainable into the future.
All the nominees underscored the importance of promptness and reliability, and nominee Anton Najjar was really concerned about the evaporation of the reservoir of goodwill with regard to the Postal Service as a result of the degradation of mail service. Would you be concerned about that also?
Well, you have to be, Bob. I don't see how we can't be concerned about the goodwill that we've seen in the past number of years, being one of the most trusted federal agencies by the American people. You have to know, and we've seen, and it's going to be interesting to see the data as it rolls out on America's confidence in the Postal Service as we move forward because of that. Because, again, there's been some changes and certainly impacts to service that have been just devastating. Some of the data that we've seen that based on the court order that the post office had to provide was staggering. I mean, to see service scores in the 30s for first-class mail is unheard of in this day and age for us as an agency serving America. So, yes, it is alarming.
John Ossoff, the new senator from Georgia, was questioning the panel about the problem with mail delivery in Georgia, particularly, and that was a key state for the two runoff elections that were conducted in January, that were conducted primarily by mail. And he invited the governor designees, once they're confirmed, assuming they are confirmed, to come travel down to Georgia to conduct an investigation as to what happened in Georgia with regard to the degradation of mail service.
And I think that would be a good trip for them to make. I mean, you know, we fully understand that we know that Ron Strowman has a firm understanding of postal operations, coming from being the Deputy Postmaster General of the United States Postal Service. So I'm fairly confident in that he understands the process, he understands the problems, and he understands the critical situation that the Postal Service is in right now. So, yeah, but I think for collectively, yes, that would be great for the three of them to kind of go down and take part in that investigative effort with Senator Ossoff, and then, you know, help come up with some plans to restore not just our service, but restore America's confidence in the Postal Service to be the deliverer of mail to America.
Ivan, you must have spoken to Ron Strowman before he went on, because that's exactly what he indicated. He believed that one of his prime missions as a board of governor would be to restore the operational success of the agency, restore public confidence in the agency, and return it to fiscal stability.
Wow.
So, did you call him up?
No, I did not. No, I did not call Ron Strowman up. But I understand his leadership. I understand his motto. At our LTSs, when he spoke, I always told people how I appreciated him for helping me to transition in this position to deal with legislation and understand legislators. And so I do have a little understanding of his acronym of leadership that he wants to bring to the table. And I think it would be for the sustainability of the Postal Service and just that, to restore America's confidence in who we are and what we will always do for America.
Okay, let's turn to the legislative training seminar right now. It's been a couple of days since the gavel came down on it. I'm just curious what you believe the highlights of it were.
Well, I you know, there are a lot of highlights for me, Bob, to be honest with you. My takeaway was, again, going into it, we had a lot of apprehension, didn't know how it would go, never did it before. So, you know, it was a lot of apprehension going in. But I think my main takeaway was our engagement, the level of engagement that we were able to put into the presentation of our legislative efforts and the dividends. But the truth test is going to be the dividends that are returned in these next few weeks when we start looking at the support for our legislation, the support, the sponsorship that we see for H.R. 1623 and H.R. 1624 and H.R. Might say the wrong number, but it's 695, I believe.
That's correct.
The support for these bills that we're highlighting in our legislative effort, that's going to be the real test of how successful we were able to be in this virtual environment. Again, I think, you know, in the beginning, we had some technical issues with the sound quality that we had to work through. And I do. I applaud Rebecca for helping work through that issue and get that resolved and come up with the resolve for that. After that, I believe the presentations rolled out smoothly. I believe the engagement with our speakers were excellent. I got a lot of great, heard a lot of great commentary about Michael Kubianda, the chairman of the PRC, his comments and how interesting they were. We know who Congressman Connally is, and his input was just critical, and his comments were just so spot on to what we need to do. We are blessed to have an advocate like him fighting for us up here on the Hill. And then Senator Peters, again, a strong leader, and if you got a chance, hopefully, to look at the confirmation hearings, and you saw his leadership in action. So again, you know, those three people really helped feed into a really positive and productive virtual LTS for our first time doing it. Also, we had the virtual SPAC effort. And again, and that was great. And we'll talk about that maybe a little bit more before I go off. But that was the first time effort, and that really turned out very well for us also. And then your training, Bob. Again, you provided some excellent training. You provided the highlight to highlight our legislation, to provide our talking points for us, and to walk us through this process that we're doing in this new environment. And I think it was very instrumental to engage our role play team in role play in a new way, in this Zoom environment that we have to work with and engage in legislators. Because the reality is we don't really know when we'll be able to really have a group come in and 400 or 500 of us be able to go up on the Hill and go door to door with representatives. That's just the climate of America right now, that we may not even be able to do that by the time next LTS comes on. So, you know, to learn this, to be so successful at a virtual event this first time out, is going to pay huge dividends for us later on if we ever have to do it again.
Ivan, were you surprised that we had over 400 NAPS members pre-register for the event?
No, I wasn't. I honestly tell you, I wasn't surprised at all, because I know our members are 100% engaged to on our legislative efforts, have always shown themselves to be the backbone of making legislation what it is and moving us forward. So no, I wasn't surprised at the turnout. I was grateful that we had the number of attendees that we had, but wasn't surprised at all, though.
You mentioned the three, I guess, keynote speakers we had, and those were the chairman of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, Gary Peters, the chairman of the House Subcommittee on Governmental Operations, Jerry Connally, and the chairman of the Postal Regulatory Commission, Mike Kubianda. These are three of the most important postal policymakers in Washington, two of which deal with legislative affairs, one deals with regulatory affairs. Was there any takeaway that you had that you could say was common to all three of the speakers and the message they provided to our members?
I think my takeaway from all three of them was that they have a commitment to the sustainability of America's Postal Service, all in their special and unique ways, but all still focus on the one goal of the sustainability of America's Postal Service. Mr. Kubianda, through PRC recommendations and reporting and that oversight, Chairman Connally, through strong oversight of postal operations, and Senator Peters, we've seen with his oversight and as far as the confirmation of competent Board of Governors members who have a understanding and a focus on the sustainability of America's Postal Service. And I think, you know, that those three, you're right, and those three leaders at the top of this, I think, are critical for us to drive an initiative such as this, sustainability of the Postal Service. We need leadership that's at the top that's willing to drive this initiative in order to have it. So we're We're definitely in a good situation, although we're in a difficult spot right now, because I will readily admit that I think a lot of the changes we have seen and a lot of the changes we're seeing are having some devastating impacts to us as an agency.
Yeah, because those changes, I want to come back to something that we referenced earlier, was that there was almost there was unanimity in the hearing that was conducted on Thursday, was the take a deep breath before implementing these performance standard changes, because we need to engage the stakeholders and we need to restore the service rather than loosen up the standards.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, Bob, I didn't have the opportunity to look at the confirmation hearings, but in hearing what you're saying about it, I definitely agree that there should have been a pause to ensure that whatever changes are made are being made that really affect a positive result for America's Postal Service. I think if anything that we have seen over the past years, or anything that's been troubling to me over the past years, is that we have initiatives that come out. We have, whether it be new equipment, whether it be operational changes, we have these things that have been coming out over the years, and ultimately have done more harm than the good that they intended. And the post office cannot continue to function and be sustainable with leadership decisions that have those end results.
Some of the comments that I've seen about the LTS, the virtual LTS, was the accolades about the role-playing exercise that we engaged in with Ali Hildebrand, who works for Congressman Dave McKinley from West Virginia. Can you talk a little bit about the role-playing that we sort of displayed virtually?
Yeah, I was, like I said, Carl Walton, he's headed up our role-play team for the last few years. Carl was, he's retired now, so congratulations on his retirement, but he was a communications manager for the Postal Service, and now he's using those skills and abilities to work with us in our role play. And I think, you know, he really put together a good presentation because of this new environment we're dealing with, this new meeting on Zooms, and it can be tricky, some of the things, you know. So he really kind of worked through his slide deck, and the team gave us a good perspective of, you know, how to conduct a good Zoom, even when you have pitfalls. And, you know, sometimes you do have pitfalls, you know, so members need to look at that. But more importantly, before you have to start having your Zooms with legislators, do the steps that Carl pointed out. You know, prepare yourself, get ready, go over the talking points, assign roles. You know, he really brought out those key points, factors of a successful Zoom with legislators that hopefully our members will use and put into play, and then have some meaningful engagement with legislators in the next couple weeks.
One of the suggestions made actually by the congressional staff person, Ali Hildebrand, during our role-playing was that we needed to address the 10-year plan head-on, that Congress had noticed the 10-year plan and was concerned about it. So that helped us also in sort of messaging for members of Congress.
Yeah, well, again, we put that messaging as a part of the talking points that you created and put together in the slide deck. And again, it does address the issue. You know, again, there are things in the 10-year plan, and we still haven't fully vetted it out. But there are some things that seem reasonable, and there are some things that seem unreasonable. There are some things that may be positive, but there are some things that surely we feel could hurt us. And again, that leads back to the statement I just made. I don't think the agency, as America's Postal Service, is in a position to continue having initiatives that may have good intentions being rolled out, but end up having bad results. I don't think we can continue to be sustainable with those type of leadership decisions.
Let's turn to something near and dear to our hearts, the Supervisors Political Action Committee, SPAC, and the revenue that we raised voluntarily at our LTS and prizes. So can you share some news with us as to how well we did? And a lot of folks out there are waiting to find out who won the executive board gift raffles.
Well, I'll tell you, Bob, I mean, there's a lot of people waiting to find out about gifts, all kinds of gifts that we had. We had some great prizes available for members in our first ever virtual SPAC drawing. We had tremendous, tremendous participation. So much participation in those last half hour to an hour of our virtual LTS that it made it impossible for us to do what we had desired to do. And that would have been to finalize all the raffles and announce at least some of the winners prior to us finishing our virtual LTS. But we couldn't do that from the generosity, overwhelming generosity of our members supporting our SPAC. And I love to report that currently now we're close to $40,000. And I know we've reported a lower number at the report, but again, it takes time to finalize even our the funds coming in. But right now we're at $39,700. I am confident that we're going to end up well over $40,000, which would be another record-setting LTS SPAC campaign for us. And that's, I am so tremendously honored to be a part of that and to be your executive vice president and the SPAC chairman that oversees that continual growth in our SPAC dollars. So again, hats off to everyone who contributed. We greatly appreciate all that you did. Now, as far as the winners, and I know I've gotten some emails asking when are the winners going to be posted, I am glad to report that the winners will be posted either today or early tomorrow on the website. They will also be posted in the next edition of the Postal Supervisors Magazine. And of course, all the winners will be receiving their email notifications notifying them that they won in our virtual LTS back draw. So what we had to do, and again, this is just a little quick, not really apology, but a quick brief explanation that we wanted to make it sure that 100% that every ticket that was brought and purchased was correctly allocated to the right drawing and correctly accounted for. So we did take some extra time to make sure we got it right, because we don't want to disenfranchise any of you guys when you're graciously giving us money. Sure, we're fighting for our own causes up here with our SPAC funds, but you guys are graciously giving your money for that effort, and we don't want to devalue that at any time. So we're going to take a little more time to make sure we got it exactly right. So I'm glad to announce, though, I will announce to you now the winners of our executive board gift card raffle. Although I'm disappointed that I'm not going to say my name, I congratulate those who have won. So the $1,000 winner is Bob Quinlan out of Branch 406. The $750 winner is Francis Mina out of Branch 159. The $500 winner is Brian Wagner out of Branch 255. And the $250 winner is Regina McLeod out of Branch 909. Congratulations to all of you. I would say I'm glad for you, but I'm not, because that means I didn't win. Congratulations. I am glad for you.
I should let you know, Ivan, that you are absolutely correct that we are going to break $40,000, because I know for a fact that there's $500 that was posted yesterday by one of our generous NAPS members, and there's a couple of more dollars out in somewhere in the mail stream right now waiting for a deposit. So we are going to meet that goal. And my recollection is during the LTS itself, because we were uncertain as to how virtual fundraising would work, we set a target of around $30,000, but we blew that away. I could tell you that.
Yeah. And our threshold, although, you know, you're saying it's reasonable, I felt a little not hurt, but I because it was less than what we had done, right? We had done for over 38,000 last LTS. So, you know, it was kind of that we had to set a lower bar for ourselves, was a kind of a problem for me. But what happened was you guys and your generosity just blew that away. And you guys just blew that away. And I know we still have some pledges. We had a lot of pledges that met the challenge by Juan Luna and Marilyn Walton and Myrna Pajinski. They made the challenges and a lot of you guys responded to those challenges with pledges. And some of you guys immediately gave, like Tommy Roma immediately sent his $500 in through our web portal. But I know a lot of you guys are going to mail your checks in or do whatever you have to do. So we're anticipating that, and that's going to help even grow our total even more.
Which is wonderful news, because we mm-hmm. need that because this is a very challenging year, and we don't get to see each other as often as we'd like because of the pandemic. So we need to use these virtual opportunities to raise money for SPAC.
Absolutely.
Now, Ivan, I want to thank you for joining us today on Naps Chat. To our listeners, if you enjoy Naps Chat, please leave a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store. And more important, tell your friends to download our podcast and listen in. Ivan, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks for having me. And thank you to all our members, and God bless everyone. And we're looking forward to seeing everybody down here in Grapevine, Texas, in August.
Okay. And to everyone, be well and safe till next week.
I'm gonna bend right down and write myself a letter and make